And I now introduce tonight's satsang, Are You Facing a Challenge? Change Your Lens, a participatory satsang. And please mute your phones. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's start with a challenge. Okay. And what I'm going to do is call in the light, and I'd like you to just ask yourself, what is the biggest challenge you are facing? Okay? And actually, I'll ask it for you. So, Lord God, send us your light. We put this time together into your light for the highest good. We ask only that which is for our highest good come forth. Hey, what is the biggest challenge you are facing? Okay, what makes it a challenge? What you gonna do when the challenge comes for you? Sung to the melody of Cops. Okay. All right, anyone here like to share? Reticent group, huh? Okay.
I'll share Dr. Lane.
One second, we need to get our advanced equipment over to you.
I've been facing, up until now, a challenge dealing with a new job that I've taken. And I've been in the job seven months now. And something that's come to me recently is that I'm facing challenges and struggles in my work because of the judgments I place on myself around my performance, the expectations I hold against myself, around myself. And in thinking about my biggest challenge, again, something that came up for me when I thought about my challenge without those expectations around it, it really wasn't a challenge. So I guess my challenge is letting go of all of that stuff that
So your challenge is the attachment you have with
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent discovery. Good. Did you just discover it now?
I think that I always knew it, but I wasn't really ready to let it go. Mm-hmm. And up until now, as I start letting it go more and more, it becomes less of a challenge.
Good. Okay, excellent. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Okay. Who else would like to share in this room?
Thank you. What came forth for me was accepting myself as spirit and accepting myself.
Could you speak a little louder?
Accepting myself as spirit and accepting that I am worthy.
That's your challenge.
That was my challenge.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what makes it a challenge?
I do.
You
my attachments to either habit or patterns that I've had.
Okay. And what are you doing when the challenge comes for you?
What came forward was to surrender.
Okay.
And then to do the self-talk as I was taught.
Okay. Surrender and doing self-talk. All right, good. Okay. Who else would like to share? Anyone else in this room? Okay, well, we'll go to the... anyone in phone land?
It's Debbie in phone land.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Dowie in phone land.
Hi. What came up for me is I kind of refined it as well because I see how I'm separating myself out from spirit. But what I first put down was integrating spirit into taking action in my business. And then instead, I reframed it to co-creating my business with spirit.
Okay. All right. And why is that a challenge?
The need to prioritize and center, and I think because I'm not always starting my day centering and doing practicing the tools I need I haven't been giving it to myself up until now, and I know what I need to do.
Okay.
What I need to do is make it a habit, make it a positive habit, and something that I start my day with, and I have the tools to do that.
Okay. But something struck me, Dowie in Phoneland, that you're setting yourself up to never to be there, or at least for something to make it like a task or a chore for you to be there. Because you said, I wake up and sometimes I just don't do my centering. Okay? But to me, I wonder if it's not the opposite, that you are in spirit and then the personality stuff kicks in and you kick yourself out. And rather than try to get back to the center or to God or to spirit, I lovingly suggest that it has more to do with accepting that you're already there and doing what you have to do to keep yourself there.
I like that focus better.
As opposed to getting there, because that's a subtle trick that your consciousness is playing, the false consciousness is playing with you.
Okay.
So that you're never there and you always have to reach it.
Yeah.
Okay, and that always keeps you separate.
Mm-hmm. I got that when I was writing the separation piece.
Okay, good.
And I think it's, along with what you're saying, it has to do with allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
And being it.
Oh, okay, so how can you best allow it and be it?
I think it goes back to the tools and what I have, the processes that I can do.
Okay.
With the subtle shift and the important shift that I'm just really reminding myself of, that I'm already there, and then from that place, going about my day.
Allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, good. Good. Okay, thank you for sharing that. Who else wants to share?
I'll go. This is it down in Florida.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Ed.
Okay. My problem right now is dealing with a relationship that's been going on for a long, long time, and I have to end it, and the problem is I just don't seem to have the courage to really finally end it. I keep putting the financial considerations in front, and here I am. You know, I've fought it, and then I've gone back, and I've tried to make it work, and then I've been thoroughly disappointed, and it's just round and round, and it's time to let go, and I just can't seem to do it.
Okay, so what's the challenge? That's the outer situation. What's the challenge?
The challenge is to get enough courage to do it, to somehow find a wherewithal to stand up and just leave.
Okay, and what would give you that courage?
Financial security would be one. That I would have enough money to meet my obligations with this person and also be able to support myself in a way that wouldn't have me living under trees and whatever, you know?
No, actually, I don't know, because what I hear you saying is just the opposite. You've sort of put yourself in a real bind that I would have the courage if I didn't have the fear.
Yes.
Okay? And rather than let go of the fear and work it positively, I'm going to cling to, I need the green stuff in order to have courage. So I'm going to keep myself further removed from being in my integrity.
Wow, I never looked at it that way.
Well, that's why you pay the big bucks, Ed. So, okay, so what can you do, Ed, so that you are in your integrity?
And everything else tells me my integrity leads me to believe that I should stay where I am and just tough it out, you know, put on my big boy pants and, you know, somehow or other just live with it. You know, this is in no way a dangerous situation or anything else. It's just, okay, in my estimation, keeping me from fulfilling the rest of my life, you know, as a single, as a person.
Okay, so the challenge then really isn't what you're talking about. Okay, the challenge really is for you, Ed, to give yourself permission to live your life, live the rest of your life, and not keep yourself bound like you are.
Wow.
Okay, so what can you do, Ed?
Well, the things I'm trying now are things like reaching out in a spiritual way, which really seems to help me.
Okay.
Personal way a lot, and looking for financial solutions that can help me, you know, move into my own realm.
Okay. I suggest co-creation and also the two-part release process. So what I suggest you do is, and I suggest it lovingly, is once or twice a day ask the Lord God or the Christ to come and take the fear and tell yourself, hey, Ed, or however you call yourself, it's okay to let it go now, or let's let it go now. Okay?
Okay,
do it right now, Ed. There you go. Okay, are you aware of that stuff, like not kind of being there?
No, not really. You know, I've conjured all this up in my own mind. I've pretty much kept it all to myself. And this is really the first time I've really spoken out about it to anybody. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm all ears at this point. I'll try anything.
Good. Well, all right. I'm not sure, you know. I don't know how to take that, but... But anyway, as long as you work it, and the second part is co-creation with the Lord God. So just say, Lord God, send me your light, and for the highest good, I am moving on being financially independent. Please give me any clarity or guidance, anything that's needed. Okay, and but you got to move. You can't sit in your living room and wait for the car dealer to drive the car over to you. You know, you gotta move on it as well. Okay, so you have to take steps also, okay?
Well, I understand.
All right, well, good. All right, and the other thing that is, when you're in your integrity, you help everybody else. So that by you not putting out the truth in your relationship, you're not being really fair to that person, and there's something dishonest, and they don't know where you're at. So you really need, by your being free and clear, you help the other person get free and clear too. Okay, so try that for openers, okay? And because you, it seems like from what you've said that you're using this situation to put a brake on the life of Ed. And that's not what God intended.
And the end result, that's for sure.
Okay. And that's not what God intended. Okay, well, good. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. Okay, let's take one more, and then I'll move into a bit of the satsang proper. Not that this has been improper, but... Anybody like to share? Josie like to share? Okay. Let's get... All right, we have a Sherry.
Okay. I'm with Dr. Lane and Vicki.
Yeah, hold on. We have a Sherry here, so hold on. And then afterwards, if...
Okay. So, what I'm... working with is my fear of being alone, and the challenge is letting go of the anxiety that I actually feel. It's like a physical anxiety that I feel in my heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I going to do? Well, what I've been doing is to self-talk and call in the light and chant my tones, and I almost feel like I could feel the karma just coming right over me. Like I had open hour with you, and I was clear when I was with you, and I could feel the karma just go like the veil. I call it this veil that comes down, and like lose any mm-hmm. awareness or
mm-hmm.
that I was. It's like I'm fighting uphill to hold on to what I know,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very very old feeling.
Okay.
All right. So, like I could, it's palpable. I could feel it.
Okay.
As I'm
right.
sitting here.
So
yeah.
this person's challenge is the anxiety of, quote, being alone, et cetera,
right.
and what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so a couple of things. One is if you have had the experience of being clear of it,
mm-hmm.
then you know there's something in you that keeps pulling it back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you need to do self-talk and tell yourself, give yourself permission, it's okay to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And once or twice a day, actually do the two-part process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you are an initiate, you need to chant the sacred names of God. That helps keep it clear. Okay, and also to do some self-talk and lovingly take care of that space in you, that you're fine. Okay, and also, you know, it's not like you're looped or you're crazy. Okay, you do have a frame of reference based on actual experience, okay, of knowing that you're not alone, that you are loved, and you really need to anchor that inside yourself and expand on that. Okay. Okay. And also, you see, the other thing is just in terms of how consciousness is set up, what you're talking about is really the false self, where and it's based in the ego, and it looks like we're all alone. Okay, so my suggestion also is to do your spiritual work and to keep lifting and growing so that you really move into the knowingness of being one with God, because you're never alone. You couldn't even take a breath if you were alone. There's something animating you. Okay, so that whole thing is an illusion, And it feels real because of the lower levels that it's working on. It's working, and it's nearer to the physical, so it seems really real. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. All right, well, Vicki, go ahead, and then we'll move on into the satsang proper.
Oh, thank you. I benefited a lot from Ed in Florida about letting go of, you know, an obstacle of moving forward in my own life. But one of the things that I'm noticing is that somehow I keep attracting a pattern of some of the negative qualities of my father. Somebody limited, distant, a gruff, not really emotionally available, and I don't know how to not attract that, or I ask and then something comes and then eventually it ends up like that. So it feels like a thorn in my side.
What's the thorn in your side? Now, why do I want to burst out laughing?
I don't know.
I do. I just want to burst out laughing. I get, because it's like a very similar response I would have to watching something like, what, Days of Our Lives or General Hospital or some soap opera. You see, you're so good at what you did. You've created the soap opera, okay? Based on nothing that's real, all right? That there's still a part in you, Vicki, that's demanding to be loved and insist upon it and insist upon being soothed, whatever the expression is, okay? While you totally and completely pretend that you are loved and spirit soothes you all the time, and you're deeply cared for, and you pretend that doesn't exist. And so you go out and you demand, and you demand, and you demand, and you don't find it, you don't find it, you don't find it, and you keep going around in circles, and you keep going around in circles, and you keep going around in circles. And my question to you is, when are you going to lay off of this? When are you going to stop this? Because, you know, unless you're completely crazy, which I don't think is the case here, okay, surely you've noticed that you've been doing this for years and that it hasn't worked, and you must be wondering, why are you continuing with this? What are you doing? Why is this continuing? What's in it for you? And if you weren't doing it, what would you be doing with all that energy instead? I mean, poor Vicki, she can't get anyone who loves her. She keeps attracting these guys who are deadbeats in every way. I mean, what a horror show. But why? Something in you keeps demanding this. So whatever is in you, you need to let that go. And somehow you know, what comes is that you want people to pay. That if you really knew how loved and cared you were and came from that, that you'd be giving much more. But somehow you want to just stew in what your child or whatever happened to you, et cetera, the karmic juices, and demand on people and demand on the world. And it's not going to work. You're too far along for that. And so my response of wanting to burst out laughing was based on when you watch these soap operas, there's this real, like, so almost like a self-parody of emotions and a pseudo-emotionalism. And that's what I get, that there's something not real, Vicky, in this drama that you've created. Okay? So I'm going to issue you a challenge. You ready for the challenge?
Yeah.
Okay? To live without this drama. Well, is it lovely enough, or is it too lovely for you to live, Vicky?
Well, you know, Dr. Lane, honestly and truly, I feel loved. I feel loved every day in many, many ways, deeply, internally, through meditation, through my work, through my different groups I'm a part of. And then now and then I will experience something, you know, horrific and harsh, like from an attorney or, you know, somebody that I had dated, and it surprises me because...
Yeah, I mean, attorneys would be the last people in the world that you'd expect that from. Ooh, I could see that one, but sure. Okay, but so, Vicky, I don't... Well, okay, then people aren't living up to your expectations. There's something in you, okay? And expectations are attachments, and that's where you get caught. People don't have to act. And what about giraffe consciousness? What about living as an initiate? What about seeing those as opportunities to get clear and get neutral? You know, and to walk around in your life thinking no one's going to come against you, that's looped. That's really looped. Of course people are going to come against you. Okay, nothing personal, but they are going to come against you. Okay, so you need to find a way of accepting yourself, Vicky, and really knowing how loved you are, because even as you were saying all that, you do, I didn't see that in there spiritually, that there were still blocks there that you allowed to prevent yourself from knowing how truly loved you are. Okay, and don't mishear what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting you be alone and live as a hermit. That's not what I'm saying. I'm suggesting, though, instead of bothering of trying to get all these men and people to love you, okay? Know how loved you are, care about yourself, love yourself, start giving from that place, and you'll see a change, and let go of the demand that's inside of you to be loved.
Okay, thank you.
From old hurt, okay? From old hurt.
Okay.
From old hurt. Okay. All right, so... I kind of got into this, the sharing longer than I had anticipated, which is actually fine. So I will really just, makes my job easier in a way. But I will just share a little bit about a challenge, okay? And, I mean, I appreciate the word. A lot of it's, I think it's a corporate speak word or whatever, or politically correct at this time. I don't know if it'll be politically correct next year, but you get the idea anyway. What a challenge of a challenge, okay? And as some of you have hit upon it correctly, it's never the thing itself that's the quote challenge, okay? A lot of times it's our attachments to it, or it's our approach, so that the attachment we have makes this thing look like this big mountain, insurmountable. That's going to be so difficult to overcome. Okay? And if you change the lens, you get to see that, hey, it's not a big mountain. The big mountain is the attachment in me. And if there is a challenge, hey, that's pretty neat. It's a challenge. And you see how it unfolds, see how you can use your skills, see how you can navigate it, etc. And if you're working with the light of the Most High, it's not that you overcome something, okay? But through your efforts and through grace, that wonderful combination, there's a way through. And then you discover that, hey, maybe that really didn't exist. There's a way through, okay? And, you know, talk about having people come against you. I've had some incredible experiences in my own life of people coming against me. And even my family, and I don't think these people were even lawyers. Okay? And the only way through it was to just stay inside myself and actually be in, actually cling to the Lord God inside, to spirit inside. And that was the way to get through. So there's always that. Okay? And then, of course, it had to do with that was my refuge, and it was fine. I might not have liked it. I might have preferred something else. You know, the hurt wasn't so all that wonderful, but the hurt was mine. I realize most people would have become murderers based on it, but and I didn't have to do that, but I also didn't have to have the hurt. And that was fine. So I practiced giraffe consciousness. Also, what's in it for me to lift and grow? Or if there's nothing in it for me because of whatever the consciousness is, then what a blessing. I'm allowing these souls to progress through a lot of karma using me. Whatever the case was, it wasn't about me. It was about lifting and growing. See, and that's really neat. So I practiced giraffe consciousness. Okay? You know, it's kind of a lot like I never really did them, but a couple of years ago I started doing the crossword puzzles in the New York Times, and I was pretty good, you know? And I might have made a comment or two about it, but I was really pleased. I got, you know, almost all of it filled in, and it was a Monday or a Tuesday. So my son, in his wonderful way, said, "Oh, have you ever tried doing Thursdays or Fridays?" And of course, I had no clue why he would even ask that question. So I said, "Why? You know, why?" He said, "Well, they're a lot harder on Thursday and Friday and Saturday." Oh, okay. So this became a challenge. You know, it became a challenge. But it wasn't, oh my God, I've got this thing and really overcome it, so I'm going to memorize every word in the dictionary. Not at all. I go, oh, that would be interesting to see how it works and to see what the level of skill is for Thursday and Friday and Saturdays and work it. So it became an adventure. It became an excitement. See, so I just change the lens. See? And also, you know, some of you discovered when you were talking about challenge is that it's not the challenge itself, but what am I going to do with my life when I get past the challenge or when there's no more challenge? So a lot of us use, quote, challenges to hold ourselves back. And we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. We like to tie up our energy. We like to bind ourselves. And we're enslaved. Okay? And being enslaved is karma. And we're the ones who have to decide to get free. And we can get free through the wonderful gift of initiation, but we have to take it. We must take it. See, that's key. You know, and, you know, I decided to look up the word challenge in my etymological dictionary. And lo and behold, it comes from middle to early modern French, but based on a Latin word. And the Latin word means to make a claim or to accuse falsely. To falsely make a claim. Okay? And when we say challenge, isn't that what we're doing? We're making a false claim. We're saying that something is so insurmountable that you have to work like hell to overcome it. But that's how it looks to the lower consciousness. What about co-creation? What about working with the light? And what about the simple truth? And it's one of the mainstays of the teachings, that you're given what you can handle. You're not given what you can't handle. So how can it be a challenge? You can handle it. That's not a challenge. That's an opportunity. Okay? So, just like my son's question, didn't throw down the gauntlet for me, but it became an opportunity. Okay, well, let's see how well I can do with Thursdays and Fridays puzzles. And Saturday's puzzles. Let's see. You know? And it was more intricate, and I got to see also how they're constructed and how they, you can play off one another and how you can actually do these crosswords. You know? And it was fun. So challenge becomes opportunity. Okay? And you make a false claim on yourself if you make it as something that's insurmountable. As you make it something that shouldn't have happened, you see? Because that, you know, one or two of the comments from Phoneland or so, that was sort of underneath it, was that false accusation that these people shouldn't have come against me. You know, after all, I was so open and I was so vulnerable. You know? Well, but everything that happens is karmically correct. So you're also making God wrong. Okay? So challenges are opportunities. Okay? And you're given what you can handle, and they're blessings. They're really a blessing. Okay? And, okay, in conclusion, you need to change that lens to that. What an opportunity, what a blessing. And thank you, God. Instead of, oh my God, I can't believe I've got to go through this. Okay? Or, my God, I can't believe the karma I have. I shouldn't have this karma. Well, what'd you do, get assigned the wrong one? Are you the only soul in creation that was ever assigned the wrong one? No. You should have had it. And not only should have you had it, but you big dummy, how come you agreed to have it? I mean, that's how much you should have it. You even agreed to have it. So let's not play the game of we're poor misfortunes and we have unfortunate beings, etc. We're not victims in any sense of the word. We have the power. And we have the power to choose where to place our focus. We have the power to either go with fear, hurt, or pain, or the power to move into spirit. Okay? We have the power to sit in judgments on ourselves or on others, or we have the power to work with the light of the Most High and have ourselves move beyond all the judgments and all the hurt and all the pain. Okay? And that's the opportunity, and that's how it works on God's playing field. This is God's playing field. Okay? And there's nothing fairer than what God's given you. And we'll stop with that.